Jesus, we just praise you and thank you because you are faithful. You are faithful in all of those things. And sometimes as we go through the day, it looks like circumstances present something different than your promises. But we know that you are always faithful. And that's why we go through this time, this praise and worship that we do on Sunday mornings, it is our time to praise you. It's our time to lift you up and say, thank you, Jesus. We love you and you are worthy of our praise. But it's also the time that we are practicing. We're doing it collectively, but we're practicing for those times throughout the week that when we're by ourselves, we are praising you. And that praise is just emanating from our very souls and it's coming to you. And throughout the week, it just becomes more and more easy to not just say, I praise you, Jesus, but to actually sing songs of praise and to sing the songs that you give us in our very souls to praise you. We thank you and praise you. You be honored and glorified by our praise this morning, for we love you, Jesus, but also for our praise every day throughout the week. Hear our hearts of love for you. You be glorified, Jesus. Amen. Amen. You guys can be seated this morning. Everybody doing good this morning? Yes. I do tell you, Charlie, you're right in the spit zone, just so you know. If there's one verse that is universally known by all believers, what was that? John 3:16, yes. A prize for her. Yeah, John 3:16 is the one verse that universally every single believer, Jessica knows it right at the top of her head. But even more than believers, there's a lot of people in the world that actually are familiar with that verse and know that verse. And more than likely, that verse was probably used to introduce you in some capacity to Jesus Christ. That verse might have been pivotal in your coming to know Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. So what is John 3:16? What does it say to us? Well, that was really a sad unison, but you guys did get it, so at least we do know that I was correct when I said universally, we do all know that. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever would believe on him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. We know that verse because we know it so well, because that verse is so familiar to us. It's easy for us to take that verse and to put it up on the shelf and to only use it, to only bring it out during times of evangelism. You know, we put that verse up on the shelf, and if we have somebody that we're trying to lead to Jesus or share it with Jesus about, that's our go-to verse. We dust it off, we bring it off the shelf, we use that for evangelistic purposes. Because we are so familiar with that verse, because we're so accustomed to that verse being associated with salvation, we forget that just like every other verse in the Bible, there is always more to learn and always more to understand. There are layers of depth in every word. There's layers of depth and knowing and knowledge. There's more things for us to know and to learn in this verse. More things about the love of Jesus. If we will seek him with that expectancy, that expectation for a deeper revelation of the love of Jesus Christ spoken of in John 3:16, that's what we will get. It's easy for us to just say, yes, this is John 3:16. This is the verse that we use for evangelism. But if we do that and that's all we use it for, we're just taking that verse and we're taking the power of the Word of God and we're putting it up on the religious shelf only to be used for those times of evangelism. But you know what? John himself, John the disciple, the one who recorded those words of Jesus, for God so loved the world, John continued to grow in his knowledge and his understanding of the love of Jesus, and so must we. There's so much more. You know, I love John 3:16 because it is one of those verses that we just tend to put by the wayside because we all know it so well. When we see John and John's deeper revelation of Jesus Christ and the love of Jesus Christ, we see that exemplified, ironically, in 1 John 3:16. So we have John 3:16. But in 1 John 3:16, we get even more depth of understanding. In 1 John 3:16, consider the timeline with John. Because John heard Jesus speak those words of John 3:16, for God so loved the world. John heard Jesus speak those words, you know, roughly about 30 AD, somewhere in there. then John wrote his Gospel of John in about 85 A.D. And then John wrote his first letter of John, which we're going to be referring to this morning. He wrote that in about 95 A.D. So over about a 65-year period, John didn't just keep that love, that understanding, that knowledge of the love of Jesus. He didn't just keep that John 3:16 knowledge and only use it, only bring it out for times of evangelism. John continued to grow. John continued to know. John continued to understand more things. He continued to grow in his knowing of Jesus and the love of Jesus. So here's what 1 John 3:16 says. I'm going to read it to you from the Amplified Bible. By this, we come to know, progressively to recognize, to perceive, to understand the essential love that he laid down his own life for us, and we ought to lay our lives down for those who are our brothers in him. See, looking at 1 John 3:16, you can see in looking at those words that he gives us, you can see that those words in 1 John 3:16, they relate to the same principles of John 3:16. You can see those same principles are there. It's talking about the sacrificial love of Jesus Christ. But in 1 John 3:16, the Holy Spirit is now giving John, he's broadening John's understanding of the love of Jesus Christ. He's building upon that singular foundation that we normally associate with John 3:16. John 3:16, for God so loved the world. We understand that that verse is displaying the love of the Father for us through the sacrifice of his Son, Jesus. But in 1 John 3:16, you can see that John has come to understand that there's more about the love of Jesus Christ than just the love of Jesus Christ for us. It's about others. It's about his love through us. It's about his love working through us and touching the lives of others. John, you can see in 1 John 3:16, John had a revelation on the love of Jesus Christ. You guys don't look really excited about that. There's just an awesomeness in knowing in every part of the word. And even that verse that is so universally understood by all of us, there's always so much more that's there for us if we will have that expectation for the Holy Spirit to show us more things. Now, focusing on 1 John 3:16, I'm not going to take time to look at it, but the verses that surround 1 John 3:16, those verses are really essential in helping us to understand exactly what John is trying to express to us in that verse, John 3:16. In the verses that precede it and the verses that follow it, John is teaching us, John is explaining to us that the love that we received at salvation, that is the same love that is supposed to be poured out of us into others, into those around us. I'm not going to look at all the verses, but I just want to look at verse 3:16, 1 John 3:16. We're going to add verse 17 to it as well. This is from the New King James. By this, we know love, because he laid down his life for us. And we also ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. But whoever has this world's goods and sees his brother in need and shuts up his heart for him, how does the love of God abide in him? When we accepted Jesus Christ, when we accepted his sacrifice, motivated by his love for us, when we accepted that love of Jesus Christ, we were made new creations to live with him eternally. So what John wants us to understand by this verse, John's telling us that that love that brought about eternal life, that love is evidenced to the world through that love coming through us, being demonstrated through us, as we show and demonstrate that love of Jesus Christ. It's easy for us to think about, for God so loved the world, that love. And, great thing, salvation. I'm not minimizing that at all, but we can't stop there. It's that love that is in us that he expects us to pour out and to pour into, to invest in those that are around us, to always pour into them. You know, nobody had a better revelation of the love of Jesus Christ than John did. When you look in John's gospel, John will oftentimes refer to himself as the one whom Jesus loved. He didn't say that out of arrogance. John wasn't saying that, you know what, Jesus loves me more than the rest of the disciples. That is saying that John had been given a deeper understanding, a deeper knowledge of the love of Jesus Christ. Think of it this way. In the same way that Paul was given a deeper, richer, fuller understanding, a revelation of the new covenant in Jesus' blood. Paul had the revelation of that. He had a greater revelation, a superior revelation. Paul had that revelation. In that same way, John was given a deeper, a richer, a fuller understanding and revelation of the love of Jesus. But here's the thing. John didn't just settle for that John 3:16 love of Jesus. He didn't just settle for that. As those 65 years went on, he was seeking Jesus. He was seeking the Holy Spirit for more understanding. And he grew in his understanding, his Holy Spirit understanding of that love of Jesus Christ. I need to know the John 3:16 love, that Jesus, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. I need to know that John 3:16 love as more than just my salvation. But sadly, that's about the limit of most believers' understanding of for God so loved the world. It's about me. It's about me being saved. Now, is that foundational? Of course it is. Is that praiseworthy? Absolutely it's praiseworthy. But does it end there? No, it doesn't end there. You see, while we correctly see John 3:16, for God so loved the world, while we correctly see that as evidence of God's love for us, we need to be ready. We need to be willing. We need to want to have that love that he's invested in us. We want to be ready to have that love poured out of us, operating through us and touching the lives of others. Because as the love of Jesus that is in you, as that love is poured out and touches the lives of others, that is the 1 John 3:16 fulfillment of his love. Does that make sense? Am I going too fast? Let's look at this from Romans. In Romans chapter 13, verse number 8. This is in the New King James Version. It says, "Owe no one anything except to love one another. For he who loves another has fulfilled the law." That's a powerful statement. When you are operating, you are completing the love of Christ. You are making that circle complete. You're fulfilling the law. When you are loving someone else, when you're operating in love for someone else, you are completing the love of Jesus. That's a tremendous. Somebody acknowledge that. That's good news. That's good. That's exciting. All right, how many of you, aside Donna, watch the Food Network? Okay, so here's a few of you. If you don't, you'll still understand this. Donna and I have noticed when you're watching the Food Network, sometimes there'll be programs on where somebody's cooking is being judged by somebody else. And when someone's cooking is being judged by someone else, one of the common phrases that you'll see used to critique that offering is they'll say, "Well, that dish was a one-note dish. That dish was one note." What they're implying, what they're trying to say is that dish, that which they made, it lacked depth. It lacked complexity. It lacked the layers of flavor that they were expecting. John did not settle. John, who was the one who recorded John 3:16, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son." John didn't settle for just a one-note understanding of the love of Jesus Christ. John continued to grow, to learn, to develop layers of understanding of the love of Jesus Christ. And that's why John, above anyone else, had the revelation of the love of Jesus Christ and what that meant. I want more than just a one-note understanding of the love of Jesus Christ. I want more than just one note. I want that deeper revelation of John 3:16, that love of Jesus Christ, that love that was exemplified by God sending his son as a sacrifice for us. I want that. So let me give you another example. I'm using Donna as an example a lot today. Donna and I, over the years, we've gone to Chicago a lot to visit some friends of ours who live there. We've been in Chicago numerous times. Anybody been to Chicago? I love Chicago. Chicago's exciting. I wouldn't want to live there, but it's great to go there for like 2 or 3 days. One of my all-time, we've been there, I don't know, what, 25 times probably? One of my all-time favorite memories of ever being in Chicago was this is probably 15 years ago. It was one night, one evening, and we were there in Chicago, and we were hearing the Chicago Symphony Orchestra. Now, to really give you a full picture of this, and why this was so special to me, the Chicago Symphony Orchestra was performing in an outdoor amphitheater. And this amphitheater was right on the shore of Lake Michigan. I mean, so just picture how beautiful this is. We're on the grass. We lay this blanket out on the grass. And you're laying there, and you're listening to this music, and this is beautiful symphonic music, you know, which music itself presents that beauty and order of God's creation. And you're laying there, and you're hearing that, and you're looking up, and you're seeing the stars, and you're seeing the order and the beauty of God's creation. You're hearing it, and you're seeing it, and you look off to the right, and there's the peacefulness and the beauty of Lake Michigan. I love that night. It was awesome. I'm not really big into symphonies, but I love that night. And I want to give you a taste of that night. So I'm going to have Tony play for you. This is the Chicago Symphony Orchestra. You ready? This really is. This is the Chicago Symphony Orchestra. This is Tchaikovsky's Symphony No. 2. Enjoy. Was that awesome? Man, did you enjoy that as much as I enjoyed that night by Lake Michigan? I don't think they got it. Tony, do it again. I want you to enjoy the symphony, Chicago Symphony Orchestra. Ah, man. You're not as passionate about it as I was. But you know why you're not moved by it the way that I was? Because that's just one note. That's just one note of the symphony. A symphony is more than just one note. A symphony is layers. It's depth. It's lots of musical instruments all playing together. A symphony is notes being played together. It's chords. It's arrangements that give a richness and a depth and a meaning that one note by itself can't possibly give you. We need to have more than a one note, a single note appreciation of the love of Jesus Christ for us. We need to have more than that. We need to enjoy the fullness. We need to enjoy the fullness. We need to enjoy the full symphony and be a part of the full symphony of God's love, the love of Jesus Christ. That's what we need to be a part of. All right. Now, for those of you that were here a few weeks ago, you may remember that we were talking about those 4 shofar blasts of Rosh Hashanah. And if you remember, that 4th blast, that final blast of each day of Rosh Hashanah, that blast that was called Tekiya Gedola, it was called the Great Blast. That shofar blast, that's that one long, drawn-out, single note, that one drawn-out single note that was designed and purposed to call the hearts of the people, their attention, their eyes, their mind, back to the Lord. Your life in Jesus is more than just a single note of receiving his love. Now, just think about that for a second. Your life in Jesus is more than just the single note of receiving his love. Your life is the love of Jesus that is in you. It's the fullness of that love of Jesus that is in you that is waiting to be poured out and is waiting to be poured out just as it was poured out to you, sacrificially. We need to go beyond being just the single note in our lives. We need to go beyond that. We need to become. We need to become harmonized with his full symphony of love. When you think about the Old Testament and the shofars of the Old Testament, the shofar was a beautiful instrument of the Old Testament, but it just played one note. So here's the analogy. Old Testament, thank you, Tilly. Tilly was excited about that. So the Old Testament, that one single note of the shofar, that's what they had. And that is analogous to the covenant, the people of the Old Testament and the covenant that they had. Because they could not fully understand the Word of God because they didn't know Jesus and the Holy Spirit had not yet come. Their lives were a one-note blast of the shofar to call the attention of the people to God, but they were a one-note blast. In Jesus Christ, you and I, we know fully the Word of God. There is nothing in the Word of God in the depth that I'm talking about. There's nothing in there that is hidden from us. In the Holy Spirit, we have that wisdom available to us, to be poured out to us. This is what's ours and what belongs to us. Nothing's hidden from us because we have the Holy Spirit to show us the fullness of the love of Jesus Christ. That is 1 John 3:16. It's the depth of the understanding. How many more people are going to be one to Jesus Christ through the symphony of his love, through that sacrificial love of Jesus Christ through you, than through the single one-note blast of a trumpet? You know, a couple weeks ago when we were talking about the trumpet blasts, after you guys left, I had Tony, you can come on up here. I had Tony, well, I didn't have him. He came up because I thought, that's really cool. It's a small little shofar. But we heard the shofar. We heard that great, you know, the big, long shofar. Tony came up, and he was just playing with the shofar. And he got it to work. So I want Tony to just play the shofar. Tony, as you're doing the shofar, I don't care what you do with it, but at the end, I do give us that tikkia gadola, that one long, sustained note, okay? Yeah! Okay, that was awesome, and that's on a small shofar. Thanks, Tony. Are you all right, Tony? A little lightheaded? That was awesome, but you are more. That was one note. You are more than one single note in Jesus Christ. You are part of his symphony. You're part of his symphony as long as we are operating in his love and letting his love flow through us to those who are around us. Look at this verse. This is from 2 Samuel chapter 6, verse number 5. If it doesn't come up, it's because Tony passed out back in the booth. 2 Samuel chapter 6, verse number 5 says, "Then David and all the house of Israel played music before the Lord on all kinds of instruments, on fir wood, on harps, on stringed instruments, on tambourines, on sistrums, on cymbals." You are a part of his symphony. But you know what? His symphony is most beautiful to the ear when every member is playing his part. You and I have a part to play and to be a part of that symphony. Don't be a one-note blast. Be part of that symphony. Your part might be the harp. Your part might be the strings, or maybe it's the tambourines. All you have to do is just know what your part is and operate in his love. When you're operating in his love, that's your part, and you become a beautiful part of that symphony. Amen? Some of you might be, it's too bad that Dennis isn't here, because when I read that verse in one of the versions, when it said stringed instruments, it said dulcimer. And I know that Dennis, did you ever play that? Just Dennis played it. So, you know, Dennis, his part of that symphony might be the dulcimer. You know, I was hoping that Zach was going to be here because Zach, how long? He just got a new accordion. You know, Zach's part's probably the accordion, although I never saw an accordion in the Chicago Symphony Orchestra. I'm sure that when Zach is there, the accordion's going to be part of that great symphony. You know, so what is the part that you play? I got one other offering to give you. Yesterday was Al's birthday. Happy birthday, Al. Jesus, thank you for Al. We speak your blessings upon the year to come, that he is blessed and he has the fullness of all the blessings that you have. It is the best year of his life. We thank you in Jesus' name. You know, Al and Zach, they play music. When they go from here, they go to another church and they play music there. And so Al, since it's his birthday, I thought we should get Al a gift. We should all chip in and get Al a gift because this can be the instrument that Al plays in his part of the symphony. Here it is. Yeah, that's called a neck guitar. Can you handle that, Al? I can see Al playing in the symphony, in his symphony, playing that instrument. Whatever your part is, we are supposed to all be a part of that great symphony of love that is in Jesus Christ. Now, again, I'm going back, but if you remember last week we talked about the cloud of his presence. And if you remember talking about the cloud of his presence, one of the things that we talked about was at the dedication of the temple. When Solomon dedicated the temple, it says that the presence of the Lord, the cloud of the Lord, was so present. His presence filled the temple so that the priests could not do their work in the temple. Here's how it says it. This is 1 Kings chapter 8, verse number 11. So that the priests could not continue ministering because of the cloud, the presence of God, his glory. For the glory of the Lord filled the house of the Lord. Now, you also remember last week when we talked about that, we saw that we have been made priests unto him. And we saw, as we know, that these bodies, these are his temple of today. So we need to let the Holy Spirit that is in us fill us so completely that my work cannot be done through this temple, only his work according to his will. And his work is evidenced by his love through me touching the lives of other people. That's how it works. Thank you, Jessica got it. 2 Chronicles chapter 5, verse number 13, kind of builds upon that. Indeed, it came to pass when the trumpeters and the singers and Al with his neck guitar, when they were as one to make one sound to be heard in praising and thanking the Lord, when they lifted up their voice with the trumpets, with the cymbals and instruments of music, and praised the Lord, saying, "For he is good, for his mercy endures forever," that the house of the Lord, was filled with the cloud. We are to be. We're to be that symphony of instruments, that symphony of voices, that symphony of praise that is offered up to him. We're not supposed to be a single note. We're supposed to be a part of that symphony. And then when we do that, this house where the Spirit, where the presence, where the cloud, where the glory, where the Holy Spirit dwells in this house, then this house will glorify the Lord in ways that the temple of old never could. This is what we're supposed to be, not just on Sundays, but every day of the week. This is what John understood. John understood the love of Jesus Christ. And John explained to us that sacrificial love in John 3:16, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son." He explained that to us. But John didn't just take that verse and then put it up on the shelf only to be used in times of evangelism. No, John went on to teach us because he learned and he grew. And John, in the revelation of the love of Jesus Christ, taught us that since we know the love of Jesus Christ, now we are supposed to lay down our lives, both figuratively and even literally. We lay down our lives for others in that same kind of love. That is the lesson of 1 John 3:16. So that one note blast of the trumpet, that one note blast of the trumpet in the Old Testament, that was beautiful, it was powerful, and it was glorious. But how much more glorious are the instruments of you and I? You and I in the revelation of the love of Jesus Christ. So that love of Jesus Christ is being poured out of us and touching everyone that is out there. How much more glorious is that? We need to be doing, each one of us needs to be doing our part to complete that symphonic composition that Jesus is preparing for the world through us and through you. Amen? Let's stand up and praise and worship. See, now you've got something to really praise and worship as we close this morning. Let's be loud.